Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious sometimes or just sit in our closets and talk into microphones.
Yep. And today we're talking about Moscow mules.
Indeed. It is 9:36 a.m. on a Monday morning. And Matthew and I are on opposite sides of the city. And sadly, neither of us is drinking a Moscow mule. But I happen to know that you did not too long ago. Matthew.
Yeah, the night before last. Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing is, like, at this point in history, like, if you were sitting in your closet drinking a Moscow Mule, no one would think that was particularly upsetting.
No. I mean, you've seen the meme going around of people, like, you know, eating lasagna in the shower or whatever, which seems totally sane to me. So, yeah, I mean, frankly, Matthew, I now can't leave my closet to go make a Moscow Mule because we're taping. But when
right.
it's done, it's like, you know, all bets are off. Moscow Mule, 10 a.m.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a feeling at some point during this taping, you're going to like suddenly like need to go to the bathroom or need a Moscow Mule or something and just like drag your entire studio behind you across the house clanking as you go.
Yeah, probably.
I can't wait to see this.
Anyway, all right. Well, this episode was suggested by listener Kate. Wait a minute. Wasn't last week's episode suggested by listener Kate too?
It sure was. This is a double Kate. It's a Kate on Kate. It's two Kates in a row.
Wow. Okay.
So first of all, let's pretend I never said any of the things I just said. And secondly, I think these are the same Kate, but who can be sure?
Have you ever considered when you put the name like listener Kate into our episode suggestions, have you ever considered putting a last name on our listeners?
Well, I've never thought about it. Like, some people have a name where it just sounds better if you say the first and last name. I feel like we were getting into this recently with something we were talking about. Matt Dillon. I found that I was mentioning Matt Dillon a lot, and I couldn't say just Matt or
no.
Dillon. Or I couldn't say Mr. Dillon, because that's his dad.
No. No, you can't. Well, it's kind of like, I don't know why this name just came to me, but if I'm talking about Winona Ryder, I'm not going to just say Winona. Like,
no,
have you seen the
Winona
latest
Judd.
Winona? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Do you think that people do this with us? Like, have you seen the latest host Molly? Is that my full name now?
That's your latest, full name now, yes.
The latest host Molly IG post, bruh?
Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe you were in a movie and I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah. It's a movie called Quarantine. It's the newest horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, we could be like recording the video of this. No one would watch that.
That's true.
Okay
well, anyway, memory lane. Let's go down Moscow Mule memory lane.
Yeah, I don't remember when I first had a Moscow Mule. I don't think it was that long ago because I think they had like a big surge in popularity maybe like 5 or 10 years ago. Does that seem right?
You know, this is something I should know since I'm the one who did the research for this episode. But actually, I can't really tell you about current.
I'm not really basing this on anything other than my. That's when I started hearing everyone talking about it. And there was like a bunch of articles about people stealing copper mugs or maybe like angry Twitter posts from local restaurants or something. But like people were stealing copper mugs.
Oh, okay. So I think that my memory lane of Moscow Mules, if we were to make a visual of it, I would say that it begins at the same time that Rachel Marshall here in Seattle launched Rachel's Ginger Beer. Because in
right.
Seattle, you know, so many places use, rightfully so, Rachel's Ginger Beer in their Moscow Mule. It is the most delicious ginger beer.
Right.
Anyway, and so I think that Moscow Mules kind of came on my personal horizon when Rachel started making her ginger beer. And then I think, you know, at Delancey or Essex, we, of course, started making Moscow Mules with her ginger beer. And then nothing was ever the same in a good way.
Exactly. As I was drinking my Moscow Mule the other night, I was struck by the fact that ginger beer is such a strong flavor that there's not a huge difference between drinking a bottle of ginger beer and drinking a Moscow Mule. Like there's a lot of, you know, there's alcohol in it, so that's different. And like sort of ceremonially, if you've got one of those copper mugs, it feels different, but it's really just drinking some ginger beer.
Do you think that this is more about the ginger beer or about the fact that vodka just kind of tastes like nothing once it's in a drink?
I think it's both.
Okay.
But I think you're absolutely right.
Maybe
that's not like a slam on the Moscow Mule. You know, like I love a Moscow Mule, and like I also love putting lime juice in anything. But it is all about like choosing a good ginger beer.
Okay. So hold on. I think we need to get straight to what a Moscow Mule is.
That's a good point.
We might have some listeners who live on the moon or who live under a rock or who are living in their closets now, like you and me.
That's true.
And anyway, I think that they might want to know what a Moscow Mule is. So a Moscow Mule
is... We're sending a Moscow Mule to each of those listeners.
Oh, I wish
we could do that.
Do we have like some giant corporate sponsor who's going to help us with that I'm unaware of?
Who's it going to be? Canada Dry. Beefeater. No, that's gin. Smirnoff.
Big lime is going to help us with that.
Rose's lime juice.
All right. Anyway, Matthew, here's what you need to know. The basic ingredients of a Moscow Mule are vodka, ginger beer, and lime juice. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I didn't know. It is a type of cocktail called a buck. So a cocktail made with ginger ale.
Yeah, I didn't know this either.
A cocktail made with ginger ale or ginger beer plus citrus juice plus any kind of liquor is a buck.
And that's because it was invented by Peter Buck of REM, right?
Probably. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I guess you can call a Moscow Mule a vodka buck, though who would want to do that when you can call it a Moscow Mule?
That's true, but I know vodka buck is kind of fun to say because of all those hard consonants.
It's true. That's true.
I'm vodka buck.
Oh.
I think I'm a Russian cowboy.
Okay, wait. So in our kiwi fruit episode, you became Coach Hayward and Woody Vines.
That's true.
You were a couple of different football coaches. So wait, what does vodka buck do?
Vodka buck is a Russian cowboy, and like I just, you know, I drive cattle across the plains of Siberia. In the winter, I'm one of those ice road truckers, and I drive cattle across Lake Baikal.
Somebody's got to do
it. It's a good job. You know, not everyone can live off the land the way we Russian cowboys do.
Yeah.
But that's just how I grew up.
And, you know, do you have like outposts out there on the tundra the way that they do in Antarctica?
I have outposts. I have nothing but outposts. What's an outpost exactly? Is it like a big, like a cardboard box where I store supplies?
Yes.
Or like a little hut or something?
It's frankly where you're storing your vodka, really. And maybe some toilet paper.
Oh, okay. So I keep... That's right. I keep a box of vodka and toilet paper, like kind of every couple of miles across the Siberian steppes. Is that where steppes are?
Okay. All right. Anyway. So, okay. Hold on. Can I tell you some more about a Moscow Mule vodka buck?
Please. That's I'm you. Probably going to interrupt with more information about the life of a Russian cowboy, but go ahead.
Okay. All right.
I know that's me. I'm vodka buck. Everyone knows that.
So anyway. All right. A Moscow Mule is traditionally served in a copper mug. Here's a little interesting thing I learned about copper mugs, and maybe you already thought about this. Have you ever, like, seen, I don't know, like, at some antique shop or something like that, like an old copper mug or, like, a brass cup or something, and thought to yourself, that doesn't seem right to drink out of that thing?
When was the last time I went to an antique shop?
What was I thinking?
I guess when we were in California, I went to the Folk Music Center, which has a lot of old acoustic instruments, but no copper mugs. Yeah, let's say for the sake of yes-anding that I'm always browsing the ancient mug section in an antique shop.
Okay, well, here's the deal. You should not drink anything that's acidic out of a copper mug or a brass mug or you know, a brass bowl or a piece of copper you find lying on the ground, or just don't drink out of it.
I shouldn't like chug stuff through a copper pipe.
Probably not. Because here's the deal. So in the presence of acids, like fruit juice or vinegar or whatever, copper starts to dissolve. And then, of course, you know, you don't want to get that in your bloodstream. So you will notice that most of the Moscow Mule mugs that we encounter in the world, even though they're copper on the outside, they're lined with like either stainless steel or nickel or whatever. But anyway, can I tell you of the many origin stories that I found for Moscow Mules? They're like all related, but different.
Is there going to be part of this story where, like, at some point in history, everyone was drinking Moscow mules from unlined copper mugs and, like, all of society went a little crazy and that's why the Roman Empire fell or something?
I wish.
I mean, that explains the behavior of the average Russian cowboy, which is not normal.
Ah, you think it's like it's copper poisoning?
I think it's about time. What was my name again? Vodka Buck.
Vodka Buck gets
tested for copper poisoning because it would explain a lot of Copper Buck's, Vodka Buck's strange behavior.
Do you mean like,
for example, forgetting his own name all the time?
All right. Okay. So here's the usual origin story of the Moscow mule. All right. So, and by the way, like the first time I read through this, it was completely unintelligible, the website where I found it online. So,
do you think it was copper poisoning that made it unintelligible?
I do.
Either you or the writer?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm feeling really proud of my ability to distill this into an intelligible story. So please appreciate what I'm about to share with you.
No, this is why I wanted you to research this episode. And this is not a joke, because like anytime there's like corporate history and PR maneuvering involved in a story, you can tell it like no one else.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's true.
Can I use that as a blurb on my next book, even if it's not about corporate history?
You can use it as a blurb on your current book. I mean, I know it's already been printed and stuff, but you could just like Sharpie it on.
That's okay. All right. All right. So here's the deal. Okay. So you got two main characters, as far as I can tell, in all the origin stories, and the two main characters are the same. You got this guy, his last name is Martin, and he is like, you can think of him as the Smirnoff vodka guy. Okay.
Okay.
All right, but he's in the States. I think he like owns the rights to Smirnoff or something in the States.
Yeah, I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense already.
No, I think it does make sense to me, because I think there are a lot of vodka brands that have a Russian name because that's what people expect of vodka, but are really not related to Russia at all.
Okay, this makes a lot of
sense. I don't know if Smirnoff is one of them, but it's certainly possible.
Okay. Well, so you've got this guy. His last name is Martin. All right. He's your Smirnoff vodka guy. Then you got this other guy. His last name is Morgan. Wouldn't you think they could have had more different last names to make this story easier? I mean, like Martin and Morgan.
Martin and Morgan.
Anyway, so Morgan, this guy owns the Cock and Bull Tavern in Hollywood. All right. We're talking about like
Hollywood, California or Hollywood, Florida?
Hollywood, California. So this is like around World War II era. Okay. You got Morgan. He owns the Cock and Bull Tavern in Hollywood. And he's got this side business making ginger beer. Perhaps you've heard of Cock and Bull ginger beer.
That's what I used for my Moscow mule.
Oh, really?
Whatever day that was. Saturday.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. I got to turn the page. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, you got these two guys. You got the Smirnoff vodka guy, you got the Cock and Bull ginger beer guy. Apparently, neither of their products was selling well. That seems unlikely. But
I don't know. Like, it's the vodka part that I'm skeptical of, because, like, you know, some bartenders, ginger beer concern, maybe not.
Sure. So most versions of this story say the two guys met during World War II, and then the drink was created after the war in an effort to sell their two products. Okay. And in some of the versions of this story, there was a third person, in some cases, Morgan's girlfriend. We could call her Ms. Morgan.
Okay, she took his name even though they weren't married. That's unusual, but okay.
Anyway, she apparently so in some versions of the story, there's this third person. Sometimes it's Ms. Morgan.
Okay,
and this third person like had copper mugs to sell or something. So you can see how this is all coming together into a riveting story.
She ran an antique store.
Exactly. Anyway, so basically, you know, all these people who needed to sell their products came together and made a new product.
I love this story, because I imagine now we could tell this story about any product. Like, you know, the Suave shampoo was invented when, you know, Bobby Schmitz had a bunch of sodium lauryl sulfate and, you know, and
somebody else had a bunch of Panthenol.
Right. And they're like, what if we put, you know, these things are not selling well. Like, nobody wants to buy my sulfates. What if we put them together and put it on our heads and see what happens? Oh,
God. Okay. Well, but Matthew, here is where this thrilling intrigue comes in. I hope you're ready. Okay.
I'm so ready.
So, you know, so most people say, you know, Morgan and Martin met during World War II. The drink was created after the war. All right. However, the first known mention of the drink was actually from December 1942.
Oh.
You'll note that that was not after World War II, all right?
No, it was in, right in the thick of things.
Yes. So there was a newspaper article in December 1942 saying that this drink was a, quote, craze in the, quote, movie colony of Hollywood.
I love that phrase.
I love saying movie colony.
Yes, it's great.
So, you know, the Moscow Mule, this origin story would have it happening, being born at the Cock and Bull Tavern in Hollywood, and somehow copper mugs came on the scene. Maybe because it was a tavern and they served their beer in copper mugs? I don't know, and I'm not sure
if I care. But in this version, like, how does the vodka guy, Martin, come into the story?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to a different story.
Oh, wow, okay.
Actually,
this is what's a movie like? This is like Run Lola Run. Like, it could have happened any of these ways.
Well, but here's the bummer I have to tell you about. It involves the same characters just at a different time. Okay. Are you ready?
And those characters are Vodka Buck, Woody Vines, and Ms. Morgan.
Coach Hayward. Okay. All right. So a different origin story says that it dates from 1941. This sounds more plausible, given that there was a newspaper article about it in 1942.
That makes sense.
This particular story, which dates the origin to 1941, this story was put forth by the New York Herald Tribune in 1948. I hope you're keeping track of all these dates because there's going to be a quiz.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No, I have not been studying for my history test, and I now realize I should have been studying because all this is going to be on it.
Your World War II cocktails test?
Yeah.
All right. So this particular story from the New York Herald Tribune claims that the Moscow Mule was actually born in Manhattan, but somehow got its first footing on the West Coast. So this story has it that it was invented at the Chatham Hotel in Manhattan in 1941 when the first carload of Cock and Bull ginger beer arrived in New York.
And now, just like all of a sudden, boom, it turned into Moscow Mules.
Hold on. Okay. Now, here we have our protagonists again. Apparently, three friends were at the bar. Morgan, our Cock and Bull guy, who must have come out with the carload of Cock and Bull.
I must have come out with the carload.
He was probably riding on top of the train making Vodka Buck cowboy hooping and hollering noises. Like, yeah!
Wait, so
do you think so?
You didn't even tell me until now, when I see it on the agenda, that not only do Morgan and Martin have pretty much the same last name, but they have pretty much the same first name, too.
I know. It's too confusing. It's confusing me.
Fine. When we make the movie that host Molly is going to star in, we'll change these names.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so now you've got the setting is Manhattan. You've got Morgan, the Cock and Bull guy. You've got Martin, who is the vodka guy. He's the president of the company that, like, owns Smirnoff Vodka or something, all right? And then you've got this, like, third guy. Okay. I'm not even going to say his name because it makes things too confusing. But anyway, they're sitting in the bar at the Chatham Hotel in Manhattan. They hatch this idea, and they try it, and boom, okay. Moscow Mule. Isn't that exciting? Oh, you're a little frozen.
All right, so you were telling the story of how the Moscow Mule was born in New York.
Boom, cha-ching, and there you go.
Have we ever had an idea where we said boom, cha-ching, and it worked?
You know, I think when we came up with the idea for this podcast, we said
boom. We were like, boom, cha-ching.
Yeah, because that's what everybody thinks when they think about podcasts. Cha-ching.
Right. No, but to be fair, like, over the first 2 years, we made upwards of $400 total.
Wait a minute, Matthew. Are you including our expenses there? I mean, is this a true balance
sheet? Not including our expenses. We made a profit of upwards of negative $1,000.
great. All right. Well, Matthew, what you're going to like is that there's one more twist on this story.
I'm going to love that.
Yeah. Some say that the drink was actually invented by the bartender at the Cock and Bull and not by either of these guys. And, you know, being someone who I'm always rooting for the underdog, I think. Yeah. I don't know. But I really like this story. This says that Wes Price, who was a bartender at the Cock and Bull, was the one who actually came up with this when he was trying to clear out the bar's cellar, get rid of like a bunch of unused stuff. I guess vodka and ginger beer were some of the unused things.
That seems like weird things to find, like unused in the cellar of your bar.
Right?
Like, well, we've got a bunch of alcohol. I mean, okay, on the one hand, it's not weird at all because like what else are you going to have on hand? Like if you found oil barrels down there, that would be weirder. So never mind.
Okay. Anyway, so none of these stories is very exciting, but it is kind of interesting to me to learn that somehow the guy behind Cock and Bull Ginger Beer was involved and somehow a vodka company was involved. That part seems kind of obvious. But right.
A Russian cowboy and Big Lime were involved.
Yes, yes. You know, then there's also really a question of whether this was an original drink to start with, because ginger beer had been mixed with other liquors before, like whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah. So in the early part of the 1900s, I saw it dated as like between 1900 and 1940, there was this cocktail called the Mamie Taylor.
Wasn't that the name of the woman who was disgraced on the BBC a few weeks ago on the mackerel episode, maybe?
Wait, wasn't that Fanny Craddock?
Fanny Craddock. That sounds a lot like Mamie Taylor, I think.
Anyway, all right. So the Mamie Taylor cocktail was ginger beer, whiskey, and lime.
What episode was that? It wasn't the mackerel episode,
was it?
It was
not mackerel. Fanny Craddock was...
Because remember, she was...
She popularized something.
Yeah. I guess we'll never know.
Our listeners are screaming once again at
They're screaming at us the same way Fanny Craddock was screaming at that poor woman on the BBC show.
Okay. Anyway.
And we're not going to take it anymore.
So there's a very good chance that the Moscow Mule is just like a vodkaization of the Mamie Taylor. All right. I mean, and this would make a lot of sense because apparently in the initial marketing of Smirnoff Vodka in the U.S., they referred to it as a white whiskey.
Wow. So, I didn't know this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The early marketing was, quote, Smirnoff white whiskey. No taste, no smell. End quote.
That is so weird.
Right?
White I want to whiskey. See one of these ads. White whiskey, no taste, no smell.
Anyway, the popularity of the copper mug, despite what I said earlier about Ms. Morgan, whose name was almost certainly not Ms. Morgan.
I mean, the good thing about the white whiskey having no taste and no smell is when Vodka Buck stores it at his outposts, it doesn't attract wolves.
Oh,
because
yeah,
if it had a taste or a smell, wolves would come and break the bottles open and lick it up.
There is nothing worse than getting to your outpost on the tundra and discovering that the wolves have gotten to your stash of white whiskey.
Yeah, no, I was like, I was going to drink this white whiskey to like kind of blast off the permafrost on my beard. And now I have to fight a pack of wolves, which I would do.
Yeah. Well, I hope you'll take a selfie while you're fighting the pack of wolves, because it sounds really cool and entertaining.
I'm going to post that. I'll take a boomerang and I'll post it on our Instagram, Spilled Milk Podcast, of me fighting a pack of wolves.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the popularity of the copper mug is usually attributed to Martin. That's our Smirnoff Vodka guy, who went around the U.S. to sell Smirnoff Vodka and popularize the Moscow Mule. And apparently he would ask bartenders to pose with some special copper mug and a bottle of Smirnoff, and then he would take Polaroids of them. This sounds dirty.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that, because I was thinking, like, and now can we get one with your shirt off? You know, just for fun, right?
Yeah, can you just raise your pant leg a little higher?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, hold on, Matthew. This is the part of the show I've been looking forward to the most.
Okay, I'm very excited.
This is the part where we get to different types of buck. So remember, a buck is a ginger beer cocktail that uses citrus, right?
Yeah, different types of buck, like buck, Henry, Buck Owens. Why? I don't know who any of these people are. These are just like names of famous bucks of the past that that came to mind.
I was thinking of like dollars, like that kind of buck.
I know we've talked about this before, but at some point when I was a kid, I think we looked this up and like maybe found the opening credits on YouTube, but there was briefly a show called Nickels and Dimes that was not related to the Barbara Ehrenreich book, Nickeled and Dimed, but it was maybe a Western show or maybe a cop show or something. And I remember one of the main characters was named Buck Nickels.
Really?
Does this sound familiar at all? Yes.
It doesn't sound familiar to me.
It was like N-I-C-H-O-L-L-S, maybe. I bet we talked about it on one of the many episodes where you talked about nickel cells.
Probably. Okay, hold on. Are you ready to talk about variations on a Moscow mule or
I'm so ready.
A vodka buck? All right. So if bourbon is used, the drink is called a Kentucky mule or a horse feather. What's a horse feather?
Well, horse feathers, it means like, you know, bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that's a load of horse feathers.
Because
it doesn't really exist.
I was thinking that maybe it was like Pegasus's wings. And this was like, you know how Red Bull gives you wings. The bourbon buck gives you horse feathers.
You should work in marketing for some liquor company or Big Lime.
I should. Okay. All right. Here we go. If gin is used, it's called a gin mule. Why put gin in there twice? Gin mule, a London mule, or a foghorn.
Okay. I've heard the term London mule.
All right. Well, then there are a bunch of predictable ones. Like if tequila is used, it's a Mexican mule, spice rum, Jamaican mule, so on and so forth. If absinthe is used, it's a Bohemian mule.
Oh, interesting. I would try that.
Mm-hmm. If absinthe and cinnamon schnapps. Wow. I've lost the ability to pronounce things. If absinthe and cinnamon schnapps are used, it's called a dead man's mule.
I learned once I don't think that sounds good, but I like the name. I learned at one point that in Denmark, schnapps, I think it's probably pronounced about the same, but it's spelled S-N-A-P-S, just like snaps. Which is really fun.
That is fun. Hold on. Have you noticed that I have not been able to determine why any of these are a mule, like a Moscow mule and a Jamaican mule? Why is it a mule? I couldn't find that anywhere.
I thought a mule also referred to a type of cocktail that maybe predated the Moscow mule, but I'm probably making that up. But I'm trying to look it up on Wikipedia right now. Nope,
okay.
It just took me to the article about the horse-like thing.
Perfect. Oh,
okay. Mule disambiguation. Okay, it's time for everyone's part of the show. Matthew spends time on Wikipedia. Muletown, Ohio, an unincorporated community.
Okay.
No, and you would have found this anyway when you were looking at Moscow mules. So my theory is wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to go on telling you about variations on the Moscow mule. All right. So if it's garnished with rosemary and cranberries, it's a mistletoe mule.
And then and then you have to like kiss the underside of the mug.
You have to kiss under it. Yeah. Anyway, no, here is one. So if you use Mountain Dew in place of the ginger beer. So just to clarify, this would be Mountain Dew plus vodka plus citrus juice.
Yeah.
It's a Moscow mole.
Oh, I see that you changed the mule into a mole, but I don't know why.
I don't know either. I just found these things on the internet, and I hoped they would make sense when I shared them with you, but they don't.
Okay, so in Japan, it's like widely known as a stereotype that foxes love to eat fried tofu.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's not actually true, but it's just like, you know, it's a common myth.
Like how we say that mice like cheese and bears like honey.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe there is a widely known stereotype that moles love to drink Mountain Dew.
I think you're right.
And do extreme sports.
I think you're right. So as of the time we're taping this episode, so, you know, early spring here in Seattle, my yard is starting to get molehills in it.
Oh.
And I think they're coming up looking for Mountain Dew. I had no idea. I thought maybe they were looking for bugs, but no, Mountain Dew.
All right. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to do a scientific experiment. So water one of the molehills with regular water, but one of them with Mountain Dew and see which one grows more.
Oh, this sounds like a perfect homeschooling assignment that my kid's teacher would want us to do.
Okay. Definitely give your kid a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew and say, just like figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been Homeschooling with Vodka Buck.
Oh, that's cha-ching. That's our million-dollar idea. Everybody needs homeschooling materials. Vodka Buck is going to make a series about survival wilderness. I guess, like, is tundra wilderness? Not really.
It's wild.
Wilderness. Okay.
Yeah.
Surviving on the tundra with Vodka Buck. You know, your kids need to know this. And also, like, how to do mole experiments.
Okay, cool.
Vodka Buck's going to teach you how to stock an outpost and how to pour Mountain Dew on some garden animals.
Okay. All right. I would like to ask our listeners this week to please go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast and tell us, what do you want Vodka Buck to teach your children about? That's what we want you to tell us this week.
That's a fantastic question.
Great. All right. So please let us know, Vodka Buck. Well, I'm speaking for Vodka Buck now. He's going to do his best to come up with the curriculum you need.
Speaking as Vodka Buck, I approve this message.
Great. Okay. Well, you can also find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast,
where we've definitely already posted a video of me taking a selfie while fighting off a pack of wolves that tried to drink my vodka.
Okay. Great.
So definitely go check that out.
Okay. All right. What else, Matthew?
If you go to Instagram and don't see that, we'll give you your money back for this episode. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that has no taste and no smell.
I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg. I think that our new podcast name should be Under the Blankets and in the Closet with Ira Glass.